This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
Tess, I'm going to let you do the intro because I'm a bit starstruck today.
Well, I feel the same way actually,
and I'm feeling the same way.
Oh, I haven't actually rehearsed our introductions.
No,
to be quite
we haven't.
Honest. But we do have in the studio Melbourne's first elected female Lord Mayor, Sally Capp. Sally Capp, congratulations, and welcome to our studio.
Thank you, and thank you for having me back.
Congratulations, 53%.
Yes,
love
it was that in the end.
Love
yes.
that. That is,
we did it.
That is a resounding vote. There are many politicians listening that would love to
53%.
Have 53% of the vote.
Extraordinary.
Outstanding.
Extraordinary.
Well, thank you. It is. I did learn a lot about our preferential voting system
yes.
as part of this process, and the nails did get shorter as the week went on, the voting week, but a good result.
That's an excellent result. And you've had a great week too.
It's been extraordinary. In fact, the last 12 weeks have been the most intense in my working life.
Wow.
And at some point this weekend, I'm hoping just to take a moment and look back, but I've already been in the office morning catching up, so we're into it.
You went in on Monday, didn't you? You didn't realise that you needed to, put the robe on and all the... So you went in...
I did. I
thinking,
turned up
just
work
turn,
on Monday
I,
morning.
I just turn in and where's the levers? Where's the levers? And they're all like, oh.
Well, full of enthusiasm and also an awareness that there's lots to learn as well. So really keen to jump into that part of it. So many issues and events and programs happening in the city. It's a large organisation really focused on moving forward. So very keen to get on top of things as quickly as possible. And I've got to say that the organisation rallied very quickly to responding to me turning up
as
on Monday morning.
And
reorganised themselves so that they were all prepared and ready with briefing papers and catch-ups and meet and greets and all of those sorts of things. So it's been wonderful.
One of the things that, we have had a lot of politicians and elected officials, they're not always the same thing, in the studio. During the campaign, did you ever think, oh, my God, what have I done? Am I really ready for this? Am I really ready to be an elected official? I mean, obviously you were, but, you know, did you have... What were some of the thoughts that went through your mind?
It's a great question, actually, because I felt that often. And one of the realisations for me and the team as we went forward is that, as you know, I went into this on the basis of being an independent and very focused on people and purpose, not politics, and really determined still to... This, for me, isn't about being a politician. It's about being a leader for our city. And yet you constantly have to adjust to the position and understanding the gravity of the role, but also a lot of the issues that we're dealing with. And even through the campaign, the opportunity to get more involved with the community, understand those issues and how important things are and how complex the solutions are and how many people we need to rally and get involved in delivering those solutions. They're not things that are easy, but they're certainly worthwhile, and that's what really is motivating me now. But the political life thing, I do have to adjust and try and keep that. I don't want to... I'll still be completely authentic, but I think there are some adjustments that need to be made to me occasionally just to make sure that I remain respectful to all of the aspects of the role. and I can tend to be a little bit more informal than perhaps previous mayors have been. So I need to balance that with an understanding, as I said, of the respect for the role and the things.
Well, of course,
that
one of the criticisms that's been made of many politicians and prime ministers has been, in fact, this very issue around authenticity. Are they being authentic to themselves, their own values, their own beliefs? Or are they sort of, you know, being dragged along by some party machine where they lose sense of their self and end up presenting in a very wooden, non-convincing sort of fashion? Now, you know, I don't see that with you. It is early days, though.
It is early days. But can I say, it's, again, just stressing, one of the reasons why I was so insistent from the start that I ran as an independent so that I could say what I thought. And whether things are a good idea or a bad idea, or and really I think the benefit as well is that it doesn't matter where the idea comes from as well.
Yeah.
If it's a good idea, let's do
it. It's a good idea, yeah.
And I'm so enthused about that aspect of having run as an independent and the fact that I do have the freedom really to operate in that way without the restrictions that come from being with a party. Having said that, there would have been a lot of aspects of the campaign it would have been easier for me to be part of a machine. And we went through some of those when I was last on. And, you know, the preferences
then.
And the politics side of it really, you know, were really big, steep learning curves for me. And I, in many ways, put myself at a disadvantage by not running with a party backing. But at the end of the day, knowing that if we won, we were going to be able to move forward in a way that wasn't shackled by any of that. So it's an exciting thing.
Of course, one of the comments that's been made in the media is around your previous role as the head of the property council.
And hang on. Sally was also Agent General in London and has had many other roles.
Of course.
You know,
of course, chair of the committee in Melbourne, or the CEO of the committee in Melbourne.
Was Agent General in London appointed by a Labor government.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm not questioning any of that. All I'm saying is, will you, because of your most recent set of relationships with the property sector, will you experience some undue pressure from them, and will any of your views change as a result of those expenses?
Look, again, it's a great question and something that did come up a lot during the campaign, and thank you for raising those previous roles, because I have calculated over my 30-year career about 4% of it was spent at the Property Council, and I am building really on all of those experiences to come into this role. What I know already in the sort of 2 days of officially being in the role, that I'm inundated from all sorts of interest groups.
Surely not.
But, of course.
And I'm looking forward to helping as many organisations as possible.
Yes?
Oh, that's what I've been in there this morning, getting diary sorted. But
no.
But
yes,
what's important is that I really am focused on representing and balancing the interests of all Melburnians, because at the end of the day, we come with all sorts of different experiences and things that we want to see happen. So it's really about balancing those things. And given I've had a breadth of experience across different interest groups, I think I'm in a good position to really balance. But the other side of it is that a big part of the role that the City of Melbourne plays is around planning. And that planning is both statutory planning, which is about dealing with planning applications. I knew nothing about 2 years ago, but now know a lot more about. But the other side of it is also strategic planning. So what are the plans we need to put in place for our long-term future, which for me is where we can make the biggest difference as citizens, is really acknowledging that we've got this opportunity around growth, or it could end up being a challenge if we don't plan properly. And so that experience around statutory and strategic planning, which I really didn't have in spades before, has been a great education for me now, and understanding how that part of the sector works is really important.
If I can ask Sally, how would you define your leadership style?
Yeah.
Because you've been a leader. You are a leader. You've been a leader in many organisations for many, I won't say causes, but for many ideas, and you have many passions. How would you define your leadership style?
Energetic.
Good.
I am very inclusive. I like to, and collaborative. And I've got to say, you know, there are a couple of jobs I've gone for along the way, certainly towards this part of my career, where that collaborative approach people have really questioned and said, well, if you're a leader, you need to be decisive. And I absolutely know that. But I do also feel that without listening and speaking with the people who are going to be impacted by those decisions, you are making a decision in isolation of really having all the information to be able to make the best decision. So I'm inclusive to that extent and really dedicated to that. And that's why I mentioned energy at the start, because if you're going to be collaborative, you've really got to have the energy for engaging with people and listening. It takes a lot of energy to listen,
and
actually.
The truth is that in the modern world of public policy making and public decision making, you can't do these things on your own.
That's right, yeah.
And if you don't take people with you, if you don't listen to people, if you don't take people on a journey, no matter what decisions you make, they're not worth anything.
Yeah, that's right. And look, when
so
you do make...
collaboration is exactly
collaboration,
the right approach.
It's so key. And then the other thing is, when we make decisions, we're able to go back and explain to people why we made it, and we understand how it impacts them. We can try to mitigate that, or at least explain it. So really keen on that style of leadership. But if we make a decision, we're going for it.
Excellent.
Because, you know, being decisive actually follows collaboration in the alphabet as well. So you cannot be decisive seriously and successfully decisive unless you're collaborative.
It
just doesn't work.
And one of our listeners has just written in, Mackie, you've taken that off the screen, but one of our listeners has just written in and said, refreshing voice at last. So there you go.
Well, that means they don't find you refreshing, Tess.
Thanks, Macca.
I'm going to use a word to describe you, Sally. You are...
I've gone all hot.
You are...
I'd worry too if I were you.
You are ineluctable. And that means unable to be resisted or avoided, inescapable.
I love that word. Where did you find that word?
I try to learn a new word every week. It's actually a book I'm reading at the moment, John Curtin's War, Tass, Volume 1.
Right.
John Curtin's War. And in each chapter, there is a word that I've never, ever seen before, and that was one of them. And the other one, what was it, Paul?
Pertinacity.
Don't know it either. Please.
Use that in a...
That's why I always bring a piece of paper and a pen wherever I go.
Use that in a committee meeting, but you are ineluctable.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Macca. I hope that remains the case going forward.
We did our... Tass and I did our research on you, and, you know, I knew the name, but I couldn't find anyone that had something bad to say about you. Which I was surprised, because normally there's, you know, there's usually someone...
Macca, now you're sounding like a sycophant.
Yeah.
I'm not a sycophant.
There'll be some out there.
Well...
And feedback's always good.
Yeah. Well, tell them to contact me, because I haven't heard anything negative. You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. Macca and Tass on Saturday Magazine. Sally Capp is Melbourne's first female elected... Sorry, elected female Lord Mayor. I should get the order right. And she did it with 53% of the vote. Nothing succeeds like success. Tass.
And we're enjoying our
conversation
with
you. We're loving
it.
Me too.
Sally, I understand there was a particular Friday night when you received a phone call, and you're having a quiet family dinner with your family, and the phone rang. You picked it up and somebody said, am I speaking with Sally Capp? And you said yes, and they said, good evening, Lord Mayor.
Yes.
Is that true?
Well, that's pretty true. I can add some more detail. I would say it was quiet because the entire family was so tense. So we were sitting around the kitchen. I had cooked a big roast. We had about 15 family members that were able to come.
Where did you get the energy to do that?
Well, distraction. it was a very nerve-wracking day, and I'm somebody that's quite superstitious about not presuming things. So I was waiting and nervous right until the end. We had had some good solid numbers earlier in the week around the primary vote, which built a bit of confidence, but really, as I said, very superstitious about not being presumptuous. So we had the phone in the middle of the kitchen table. I had it on speaker. I pushed that button, and one of my team members was at the Victorian Electoral Commission, Brendan, and he said, "Is that Sally Capp?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Then I am speaking to the Lord Mayor of Melbourne." And the entire family erupted into tears, shouts, screams, hugs, and I'd hung up. And then I calmed everybody down. I said, "Let's just call back and make sure we heard that right." So we called Brendan back. I said, did we hear right? And he said, "Yes, we did hear right. Yes, you are the Lord Mayor." So we had a lovely night just around the table, all squashed, telling stories and enjoying each other's company before the mayhem that was to come. So it was a very, very special night.
And it felt great.
It felt amazing. Yeah. And that feeling has kept going. But I've got to say, it really wasn't until after the ceremony at Town Hall on Thursday when I was sworn in officially that I actually felt a lot of the tension and the stress fall away, because I was there, it was official. Everything in preparation was done in terms of the official things, campaigning through to the swearing-in ceremony, and now I could just, you know, relax, if you like, into the role and focus on the future, which was fantastic.
And the swearing-in process, in a nutshell, what does that involve?
Well,
who does it?
Well, the CEO really does it. So, you know, very much in-house. It was in the chamber, which was lovely. Again, my family took up most of the seats. We were allowed to be energetic and passionate and clap and cheer, which was fantastic. And all of the councillors came, a lot of the press, and then members of the public that were interested. And one of the best things actually about the day was that we had a smoking ceremony beforehand and a welcome from the traditional landowners. And I think I cried more during that part of the morning than I did when we got to the chamber, because of the significance of that and the words. And the welcome was so warm. So it was a big day. And so what happens is you're in the chamber, you get up. I made an affirmation about my commitment to the city, my understanding of the roles and responsibilities, and mentioned the relevant act and signed in. And then we all, actually, all the councillors signed the new code of conduct. And I've got to acknowledge Aaron Wood and his leadership and the hard work of all the councillors in this difficult period, actually putting in the effort to pull together a new code of conduct.
Yeah.
And I think that's really significant. I'm happy with it. We're still working through a number of details on how it will operate, but it really sets a new standard for behaviour, and I think the public can have good expectations around that, and we've made a commitment to what everybody can expect in terms of how we behave and conduct ourselves.
And there's
at Town
been
Hall.
A lot of talk about women in leadership roles and the importance of women in leadership, and you've had a lot to say about this as well.
I have.
And I mean, for us, it's really obvious. I mean, we believe in diversity, we believe in equality, so of course we're going to support having a female Lord Mayor. Mm. But are there any other final issues or comments that you want to draw out, or is this going to be one of those constant battle zones?
Well, I guess from my perspective, having got to this position and looking at the wall where all the previous mayors are and knowing that there are three amongst the 104 names, there are three women, it's to me, it does signal now real change, particularly given it was popularly elected. I think that really makes a difference. There's a mandate there. There's a signal from the community. We are looking for diversity. We understand the value of that. And I certainly intend to continue with those themes, because I think they're really important to keep celebrating.
Mm. Of course.
Message, Tess?
From Peter. What does he say? "Hi there. I'm enjoying the show, listening to great leadership, and I would also like to give my thanks to the fantastic female leaders such as Mel and Tennille." That's the CEO and the chair of Joy.
Oh, good.
"Respectively, and many others at Joy for making a huge difference." And that's from Peter. Thank you, Peter, for your feedback. So let's move to the future.
Yeah.
Tell us about what are your number one, two and three priorities?
Well, I think we had this question last time as well. So, well, I said during the campaign that the number one priority was going to be waste collection. How exciting is that?
You couldn't get down Little Collins Street because there's so many bloody rubbish
trucks.
Good
memory. Good memory, Macca. So, but look, the reason why that was important is because for the residents of the CBD and businesses in the CBD particularly, we find ourselves in a ridiculous situation that causes inefficiency, congestion and a lot of noise at 3 a.m. in the morning, which should be unnecessary. And, of course, the local council is really about rates, roads and rubbish. So we want to get that right. And so that was my first meeting after the swearing in. And I shouldn't be flippant about how exciting it is, because it's an important part of what we deliver as a city. And in that meeting, we've agreed that we're prioritising that issue, and we'll have a discussion paper out on the 5th of June, which is World Environment Day. And I believe there are some fantastic solutions. Yeah.
5th of June this year?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So that's a really important priority.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
No, and there's some great work that's already been happening, so that's why we've been able to agree to that. And then beyond that, as you know, I had sort of two buckets of issues during the campaign. One was about current issues we can manage better, QVM, homelessness, safety. And so we've started some discussions there, and QVM will be a priority into next week.
Yeah.
And that's very much around inclusion again. You know, let's make sure that the major stakeholders there are actually included in the important discussions. And then we've got our big ambitious ideas, which are about aspirations. And Highline is a highlight for me.
I love Highline.
Good.
I think
we're all going to need to be involved in this.
You know,
I hear the government's not that interested in that.
Oh,
not yet.
Well, some say that, but look, the conversations are just beginning, the work's just beginning, and during the campaign it was so fantastic to feel that positive feedback across generations, across different parts of the community for having an exciting project and something that increases our open space. So you can rest assured that I will absolutely be going for this.
Because, you know...
And I'm ineluctable.
Ineluctable.
I'm now ineluctable.
And the other.
And I am pertinacity.
You have pertinacity.
I have pertinacity. Thank you. I'll get used to these words. And I'm seeing the Premier on Monday.
Good. Well, you know, we use the airspace, you know, to build high-rise, right? Let's use it also. It's open space. Mm. Let's use it. You know, let's take some of that traffic, pedestrian traffic, off the street because the streets are crowded. Mm. People wanting to go from one place to another. Let's use it.
Yeah, no,
let's make something special for Melbourne. Something special.
But it is also a project that builds on that foundation of inclusiveness, because we cannot achieve this project without all parts of government, all tiers, and also all sectors getting involved. And that's how they did it in New York as well. So I think it's a great project for everyone to be able to embrace.
There's a message here. The bike path on St Kilda, I think perhaps St Kilda Road, is in desperate need of upgrades. If it's St Kilda, well, that's the People's Republic of Port Phillip. If it's St Kilda Road, well, part of that is being impacted, obviously, by, you know, Metro.
Yes.
Metro Tunnel.
Yes.
You've reduced the number of, and I always used to give your predecessor stick about this, the number of car parking spaces in the city. I don't have a problem with you putting the price up. I think that's, you know, you want to drive in and you want to park, you pay for it, okay? And I know there's a couple of little secret places in the city where I know I can always get a park. But do you think ultimately, and this is thinking a long way ahead, probably into your second term, do you think there's going to be a time where cars won't be in the CBD? A lot of cities in the world, or, and I daren't say this in front of TAS, autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles.
Yay!
In the CBD, do you see a time where potentially it's going to be pretty difficult to actually accommodate vehicles in the CBD other than for delivery?
Actually, Macca, I think there'll always be a role for cars of some sort, whether it's the, you know, autonomous vehicles. For some people, cars are important for their own access into the city. We've got residents good is that, you know?
Yeah.
So I think absolutely there's always going to be a place for cars. But what we're seeing now is that as people are using different modes of transport and increasing their use of those modes, whether it's walking, bicycles, and thankfully public transport, then we need to rebalance the way the city works to make sure that that we've accommodated that. And I'm excited about, you may have seen yesterday that, you know, we I'm making a commitment to using all those forms of transport. And certainly this week I've been on public transport and I haven't yet learned how to check out one of the City of Melbourne bicycles. But this coming week, will see me out there somewhere on a bicycle
with your blue helmet on, cycling away.
There's some yellow ones.
I wish it was like London where you didn't have to wear a helmet, but anyway, we can deal with that.
It's better.
Is it all right?
Yeah, there are some yellow ones, but most of them are in the river.
Yes, I'd have to bring my flippers.
Yeah. I'm okay with the yellow ones. I've thought long and hard about it.
It's a shame because people are, I mean, what they're doing, it's vandalism, pure and simple.
Exactly.
You know, and, you know, it's a resource that at some point all of us are going to use. I don't know if in my lifetime we'll see me on one, but...
maybe we could do that together.
Now, Macca, we're nearly out of time.
God. Yeah, that's a
Sally, thing. We're looking very forward to you being a regular on our show and having as much time as you wish, and we'll talk with your office and we'll sort set that up going forward. And we're also very keen to talk with you about some of your other big ideas.
Right.
In particular, your idea about getting Mardi Gras and Melt to Melbourne.
Yes.
How good would that be?
Yes.
We are speaking with Teresa Kashu, who's the CEO of Mardi Gras, a little bit later.
She might have a different view.
We know some competitive tension's always good.
Yes.
I'm not unhappy about that. Yes. I'm not unhappy about that. Sally, it's been a pleasure to have
Real
you
pleasure.
In the studio. Absolute pleasure. We look forward to many more conversations with you and having open dialogue with our community.
Well, thank you for your warm, warm welcome this morning, and I'm committed to being here regularly, and hopefully we can use it as an opportunity to float some ideas and get feedback from people and really use it as that collaborative space. It'd be fantastic.
And we want Highline.
Yay. T-shirts are coming.
They will, don't worry. Thank you so much, Sally Cap. Congratulations again. Thank you for being generous with your time.
Especially in the first week.
In the first week.
Absolutely.
And engaging with us.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.